Alrighty, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Big Footy Tiger Cast for a Monday night. Back after a very, very narrow loss, a bit of a painful one, this one, unfortunately. But you know, that's the breaks. But yes, hopefully we can bounce back again next week. Grok, welcome back, mate. How are you going?
Yeah, good to be back. Going well, mate. Going well.
Very good. And Carl is back on the show. How are you, mate? Love the background as well, by the way. Very, very official.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm sticking true. I know it's an older sponsor wall, but I like using it when I come on, so I'm keeping it.
And I do like it.
I think they put it on socials, the Richmond socials at one point, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to stick with this anytime I appear on the podcast. And yeah, there it is again.
I think you're right. There was like a suite of images that you could download, wasn't there?
Yeah, and I made sure I downloaded it because I if I'm ever doing a Zoom call, or back then when everyone was doing Zoom calls,
we had no choice.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I thought, you know what, I'm going to bank this and use it as my background. I pretty much have ever since, I think.
Now, for those new to watching, I probably just assume that everyone's always a reoccurring viewer, which isn't always the case. Carl has worked for 3AW, SEN, doing producing for all the Big Footy shows. Give people a bit of a background of what you're up to now these days.
Yeah, so there's been a lot of change at the place, obviously, but I'm still actively involved. I'm a bit of a floater these days. I sort of just appear when they need me to appear. So throughout the week I work assisting our footy coverage a little bit, but also on the afternoons program with Tony Moclair. That's a lot of fun. And, yeah, on the weekends I get to work on footy, which is the most fun of all. You know, getting paid to work on AFL coverage is nothing better. Just when it's Richmond games, I try not to work them where I can, because I don't want to get too passive aggressive in the box and be, you know, whacking equipment that's very expensive. So, that's what I do. Yeah.
Very good. Before we get into the Richmond stuff, I do want to get everyone's thoughts on the controversial, event that happened in the Freo-Carlton game. I know it doesn't really impact us directly, but I thought it was just a fun talking point anyway. But the ball that clearly hit James Aish in the side and deflected, that was given a mark, and then they got the second kick for dissent. And it's come out today, and I think you can actually wear the umpires not seeing the ball deflect. Like, it's a pretty high-octane game. They might have been in the wrong spot. Having said that, you would have thought at least one of the four would have seen it. But for Alex Pearce to come out and say, I chatted to the umpires after the game, they don't actually know what the player said. It was just the tone of it. It's like, well, hang on. How can you pay to send free kick if you don't even know what was said, who it was said to, but you're just going off a tone? I thought that was an extraordinary take from the umpires that's why they gave that second free kick. Like, if it was legit dissent, fair enough, but they can't categorically tell us that.
Yeah.
Well, apparently Jordan Clark came out and said the comment that he made was, you fucking idiot, Jordan. And apparently the umpires have cottoned on to the first three words and thought it was directed at him. Apparently that's how it all unfolded. Alex Pearce said that was the comment that Jordan Clark had made.
So he's swearing to him at himself for...
But if you're an umpire and you only hear you fucking idiot after a call that players have already been pretty demonstrative towards you and, you know, up in your face about, I could sort of understand it from that way. But on the other hand, that he completely guessed. He didn't hear it himself. He didn't hear the full comment. Like, so again, I can see both sides of that comment, especially if he just heard the first three words. If he had heard Jordan at the end, I don't think he would have paid it. But again,
But does this play into the fact, Carl, that a lot of people are now becoming of the opinion the umpires, I don't want to seem like an umpire bashing statement because it's not really intended to do that, but that they're guessing some things, like they're actually anticipating things that have happened or have been said and reacting that way rather than acting on the actuals?
I just think umpiring's become way more complicated than what it needs to be. You know, we've got four umpires. We've got all this technology that they have to keep up with on top of us as spectators and the players as well. I mean, you know, I'm all for evolution with the game, but I feel like we're evolving too much and too quickly. And I don't think it was necessary to go to the four umpires personally. I think three was enough as it was. And, you know, we look at all these reviews going on. How many reviews were there in the Richmond game? Unnecessary goal reviews. Like, how much clearer does it have to be for them to declare a goal or a behind? Like, there's too much technology involved.
Those ones are tricky. I kind of sometimes feel for the goal umpires because when there's glaring sun, I can understand why they'd want to err on the side of caution. But then the argument is for 100 plus years that that was never a thing. It was just go off whatever the call was. Like, you'd almost rather have a goal, two goal umpires, one on either post, to be able to have all angles covered and not have to go to technology.
Yeah, but you know, you say that, and the conditions at Norwood, it was a very sunny day. The sun was getting into everyone's eyes, I think, the commentators including, from all broadcasters' perspective. But, you know, you look at the fact that we play games at Marvel Stadium and we have the roof closed when it could be 28 degrees and beautiful in the early stages of the season, right? You know, like, we have to blur out the sun at Marvel. That the whole reason why they implemented that rule to keep the roof closed was so that you didn't have the sun interrupting in the play. You know, yet we'll play at a local footy ground and have similar issues. Like, I mean, I'm not against the whole idea of having a gather round and whatnot. I think it's great for the game to be able to have things like that, but. And again, whether, you know, you can't predict the weather and whatnot, but if Norwood has a history of having, you know, the sun in patchy areas like that, that's going to contribute in ways where, you know, it's not fit for the most professional competition, then I think questions need to be asked personally. Like, it's not good for the spectators when you're there. You might be at one side of the ground, you can't see because the sun's spotty. If you're watching it at home or from a TV perspective, you know, you get annoyed because they're going to the review for goals, or, you know, you can't see who players are and whatnot. Like, I just, yeah, it's, I think maybe it needs to be looked at, quite frankly, you know, because the whole Marvel thing is you do it there. Maybe you look at it, have a look at it in future references, try and avoid it where you can.
What about the gather round as a whole? Was everyone happy? I mean, I think from a bringing everyone together perspective, it seemed like it worked well. There's plenty of activations and activities for kids and families and things like that, which is a big tick from the AFL's perspective. From a spectacle for the round, I'm not sure it ticked all the boxes. I've seen a bit of stuff floating around on social media about how low scoring a lot of the games were as well. Not sure if there's a common theme or a common answer to it. But speaking of Norwood in particular, the ground looks in immaculate condition, so props to them for that. But I was a little bit, and this is, who I think, did someone else play there before us? We weren't in the first game there. But when I first noticed the straight wings, for me, that was a little bit concerning. I just didn't think it felt right having, you got rounded ends and then dead straight wings. It just seemed a little bit odd. And I'm not sure if that should qualify as being fit for purpose at AFL level.
Were we watching a game at Norwood, or was it actually a game at ANZ Stadium? That's the question I'm asking. The ground dimensions were very similar. It's like taking Oval to the next level when you look at it. And I think I heard somewhere there was a stat that was thrown up that the ground dimensions were only a little bit bigger than Glenferrie Oval. I mean, can you play footy on grounds that size at the professional level? I don't know. That's another slap. Sorry, I'm going whack, whack, whack here. But, yeah, it's a very narrow ground. Like, I mean, we went to the extent as a football club to train to the ground dimensions at Punt Road. We wanted to prepare that much, and it didn't work. It, unfortunately, it didn't work to our favour. Everyone sort of looked at it. But, yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? The grounds that sometimes AFL clubs find themselves playing on.
Yeah, and I think that was evident in the game, especially in the second half. St Kilda just defended that ground so much better than they did in the first half. They didn't get sucked into one side of the ground. They kept their width, which in a ground that's, as someone said, eight metres narrower than Cadinia Park, which we notoriously struggle at, it was always going to be a bit of an issue once we couldn't find that space. So, yeah, it's such a weird shaped oval, and for teams that rely on run and carry, like would have been a lot harder.
But I mean, other teams have to play there too, so we're not crying poor by any stretch. But I just, yeah, if you're going to have a gather round, I just think we need to make sure that all the ovals do fit proper AFL spec and resemble the proper shape of a ground, I guess. But I will push on to the game itself. St Kilda 9-13-67 defeated Richmond 9-6-60 by 7 points, which I think was maybe a little bit better than some people had thought we would go. But given how close we were and the chances we had, it probably ended up being a bit of a frustrating loss, to be honest, which I'm sure we'll touch on. But goal kickers for us, Bolton kicked four of the most ridiculous goals you're ever going to see in one match. It was unbelievable. Morris Rioli Jr. kicked two, which I'm super pumped for him for, because I know that's the one thing everyone's been screaming out for him to do, just convert your chances. And he had an absolute ripper game. Sonzi got one, which was another ridiculous goal. Lafau had a goal, and Kaczynski got a goal as well. But I think the story of the day for me had to be Bolton's effort. I mean, he and Dusty really carried us for bulk of that game. I know the young kids did their part and did well, but from an experienced head perspective, that was the most complete game I've seen Bolton play almost in his entire time at the club.
Absolutely. And he's always been that type of player that when we've got Lynch in, when we had Jack, he was much better at up the ground, because he very rarely got a look in up forward, and he'd often float in and out of games. Now that we have, now when Lynch and Bolton, when Lynch is out, Bolt is obviously out. The fact that he was our number one forward, the one that we targeted more than pretty much anyone going inside, that's when he's at his best as a forward. I do think that he still needs to split his time up, like midfield and forward. I don't think he can be like a pure forward. He's too good with the ball in hand. But that's the type of game that we've been expecting him to play. We know that's the level that he can get to. His problem is just stringing that consistency together, and he's had a pretty good year so far. So,
yeah. No, I tend to agree with that. No, go.
If you've got something on show, go for it.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, my one concern, and it's not really a concern, it's just something I think the club need to be careful of, is I feel like Dusty and Shay, they play very similar roles. So, like, I'm going to label it the spark role, right? When we need to be motivated and get the ball running and, you know, get a jump on our opponent, both players are more than capable. And I just worry with them too. Sometimes they both try and play the same role. And so I think it just needs to be made clear that, all right, Dusty, we want to put you at full forward and you can play as our full forward, because we don't have Bolter, we don't have Lynch, and we've got a bit of inexperience there, shall we say. You know, Cozzy's trying to find his feet at Richmond, and McKelty's there doing his best, but obviously he's new to AFL footy, despite playing VFL, but there's a massive change, step up from VFL to AFL, and credit to him. But that's just my one concern, and it's not just from this season, it's from past seasons as well, because we've seen how Bolton's evolved, and when Dusty had been in and out for various different reasons, it was clear that, oh, I've just hit my microphone, sorry, I got too passionate there. It was clear that these two, Bolton was trying to play the Dusty role, and with them both playing, I just think that we're better for having both in the side, but it just needs to be clear who's playing what role so that they don't cross over each other, if you know what I mean.
The only other concern I have with Bolton, especially as a forward, is he often gets tunnel visioned at goal. He often burns teammates. And he had a couple of shots on the weekend where he had teammates at the top of the square leading out to 15, 20 out, but he's taken that miracle shot. And thankfully they came off, especially that one where he sort of snapped it and it sort of took a weird bounce and went through. But it's things like that where I like that he takes ownership of it, but at the same time, he also needs to be wary not to be too goal-focused.
I reckon there was one before that, though. Grocker was on the boundary, and he looked inboard twice, saw nothing, and had the shot. And I reckon from then on, he thought, I'm on here, fellas. I'm just going for everything. And sometimes there's merit in that, but you're right that you still need to play the team game. Because then, on the flip side, earlier on in the second quarter, he tried to be too unselfish, passing what should have been a regulation 35, 40-meter shot to Camden. I think it was Camden McIntosh who ran inside, butchered the pass, and we got nothing for it, where we probably desperately needed a goal. So he does have to try and find that balance, but shit, he was just running white hot. It was unbelievable. Morris Rioli, like we said, I think it was his best game for the club by far. And again, I know people probably haven't this week, but you can't get caught up in his numbers too much. 8 disposals, one mark, 4 tackles, but the tackles, my God, were they timely. He came literally out of nowhere like a freight train and just absolutely nailed him, which is exactly why he's in the team. But to see him get 2 goals as well was really, really good reward for effort.
Yeah, and 16 pressure acts too, which is what he's in the game for. And it's something that we sorely lacked against Port Adelaide, especially with their halfback, the way that they rebounded off halfback with Lewis Young, obviously Darcy Bird-Jones and the like of those players. So for him to come in and have a really, really good game against Sydney, I think this week he was probably a little bit less than what he was against Sydney. I think Sydney was still the best game he's played for us. But this week was absolutely another step in the right direction for Morris. Obviously, there were concerns about the game last week where there were question marks on whether he could sustain that or build off it. And for him to come out and have the game that he did on the weekend, it feels like, it just looks like he's playing with a lot more freedom. He's not worried about his instructions that he's been given post-game like he did under Dimmer. Like the whole defense first thing, it looks like he's getting involved offensively and then working defensively on the way back, which I think is the right balance for him. I think he's using his skills, his athleticism, because he's got a pretty quick burst and top speed. It's just getting to that acceleration that he struggles with. But like for him to come out and play the games that he has over the last 2 weeks, he's definitely going to be his best 22 at the moment. He's the best we've got in that role, and he's starting to get the reward for it.
Yeah. No, 100%. I couldn't agree with you more, Grok. I think he adds so much value just with his pressure act alone. Like, I'm not too fussed about what he does offensively. Like, yeah, he might be half forward or whatever role, you know, position they put him in, but that's not a definition of the value he adds. And we're talking about a footballer who's played, what, 31, 32 games. You know, and there's a lot of expectation of him, of course, you know, father, son. His name's Morris Rioli, you know, and he's playing for Richmond. But he's only getting stronger and stronger from what I'm seeing. And I think he, like, sparks the pressure acts. Like, He gets going, and then you see our other youngsters go out there and they really start giving it to our opponents, really tackling hard, and that's the kind of footy we want to see. He sparks something and we start to look really good. So I think you, for his pressure acts alone, you know, the pressure he applies, that's enough for me to say that, you know, good on him, and I want to see more of it. I'm looking forward to seeing more of it.
And the comment that RSC Centre just made there about the midfield, we saw bursts of that last week against Sydney where he was up at half back, he was pushing through the midfield, breaking tackles, breaking lines. So, I mean, he's got the number 10. Last week against Sydney, he looked very much like Shane Edwards, just the role that he played and the ability to find space. So
I've been calling for it. He's going to add a nice, sharp element of defensive pressure in the midfield from a centre bounce perspective. Just mix it up a little bit.
He's been working really hard with Kane Lambert on his running patterns and fitness. So if that's the case, I think by the end of the year he's going to be ripe for next year.
Before we get to the next set of plays, Nick's thrown a slight curveball question. Are we a better side without Grimes and Prestia? I think it's important to note that the comments being made aren't disparaging towards either player, because we love the service they've provided us, of course, but I think from a backline perspective, we need to see this backline stay settled and stay as young as possible, because they're the future. Like we said the last couple of weeks, and I think people might be more swayed to this opinion now, but if there's 15 games left of the season, hypothetically, I think we're better off seeing 15 more Tom Brown games than 15 more Dylan Grimes games. Nothing against Grimesy, but I think we have to keep him there. Prestia, there's probably an argument for Prestia to come back in, but I still think he needs to come back through 3 or 4 games in the VFL just to make sure his body's holding up to it. We can't have him come back in and break down the first quarter again. It's just too much.
Yeah, definitely a better side without Grimes. Grimes was done last year. He was losing his one-on-one contest, lost his feet a lot. There was definitely signs that he'd dropped off. And even this year, he's been exposed a little bit. So we look much better with Tom Brown. Tom Brown's already offering us more than what Grimes has done over the last 18 months. Defensively, he hasn't really been tested yet, Brown. I mean, he's had a couple of one-on-one contests, but his offense is providing us far more than what Grimes has done. In regards to Prestia, I think it's if we've got a spot for Prestia, it all comes down to how McAuliffe plays over the next 3 weeks. And now the good news with McAuliffe was he was back on the ground at the end of the game. He was in a throw-in contest with a minute left to go. So obviously the club can't be too bad, although with Louis Meehan, there's no guarantee that McAuliffe's not going to be out for 6 months tomorrow when the injury comes out.
He looked good though, didn't he? For the time he was on the ground, I'm still adamant he should have played from the start, but that's just me not liking a sub as a debut game. But I thought he looked super composed, Carly. Made some great decisions, got involved in the thick of it early, and if he's right to go, surely he gets a full crack at it.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% on the debutant's sub thing. I think you got to put him in your best 22. You know, don't give him the subs vest. Expose him to footy and four quarters. I mean, he's been tearing it up in the VFL. Why would you make him the sub? You know, how can you expect a player like that to get going, you know, in his first game of footy when he's been playing four quarters? And I just thought that was, you know, I mean, we're seeing it a lot, you know, not just with Richmond, but other clubs, they decide to do it. And, you know, it's an opportunity, but, you know, he gets on the ground and he plays what? Be lucky to play a quarter in total? It's disappointing.
16 minutes or something, yeah.
Yeah, which is not enough, really, in your first game. You know, I can buy it maybe a half, but even that's unders, in my opinion. But, no, what I saw of him, he positive signs early, and I think we got him for a bargain. Like, you know, I think he was touted to be like a top 20 draft pick, and we got him, what, in the 40s in the end? So, I mean, you got to give it to our list team that have been able to pick some winners. And he's just another one. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he brings us in the coming weeks, hopefully. A
few people mentioning Miller as well. Now, I do want to flag that Tiggs had claimed Ben Miller a long way out and said that he had something in him to play. So I will give Tiggs props there. But he's looked super composed and settled down back as well. And I think it's just a continuity thing and maybe been given that faith and that confidence that he's doing a good job. And he and Young, I think, have partnered up well. Broad provides the good chop out, and so does Vlosten. So I think it's a good dynamic they got down there, Grok.
Yeah, absolutely. Like our back line is starting to get to the point where it was in 2012. Obviously, we had Asprey, we had Grimes, we had Rance, those youngsters who got exposed at times, but they were all the better for it. And they became a core group. And you look at the players that we got down there, obviously. You know, Young and Miller, they're the older heads now, but they're still relatively raw in terms of experience and games played. Then you throw in Brown. Obviously, we've got Vlosten there, Vlosten is now our Chris Newman from that period. He's the older statesman, that experienced player. You got Broad there, who's coming towards the end. So I think our backline's looking pretty solid. We've got some decent young players coming through. Throw Gibkiss back in when he comes back in, hopefully towards the back end of next year. And yeah, I think we're in a pretty solid position.
What about Nane Curvis's game? I thought it was massive. I know, I think Marshall maybe got a goal late in the game, but he played a super game, essentially won out. Personally, I would have liked Naismith in to tag team Marshall and wearing down, but we obviously didn't go down that path. But I thought Nank's going back with the flight of the ball and his chopping out in defence was really, really critical. And I suppose what bugs me most about the not playing Naismithing, if we had him in for those later stages in the game, Nank could have actually sat in the back 50 and we still could have had Naismith rucking around the ground. But that's a different argument. But I thought Nank did a super job against Marshall, who's a very good ruckman in his own right.
Yeah, you've touched on it. The way that Nang played, especially in that last quarter, dropping back and taking those intercept marks, playing Naismith over Kaczynski or LaFau or whoever would have made that long ball to the wing a lot more effective. I mean, we had no Bolter, no Lynch, but for us to continually go long to a wing with no genuine contested marking threats, that was frustrating to watch. And especially as Nang was, again, taking the marks down back. So we didn't even have a ruckman there. So if Naismith had played, we would have at least had a taller target to bring the ball to ground. The amount of intercepts from that game plan towards the end was just frustrating. It was the wrong thing to do at the wrong time with the players that we had. And I think Naismith definitely would have helped.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with that. It seemed like we seemed a bit too small going into the game. Like St Kilda were just taller than us, you know. And it didn't help that we treated our forward entry as though we had Bolter and Lynch there a lot of the time. Like we were kicking inside 50, and it's like, what are you doing? We don't have a target sufficient enough to be able to play for the mark, and you know, and try to set up a set shot at goal. We needed to sort of, you know, adapt to that sort of, you know, pack football where the ball hits the ground and pick it up and utilize our smalls to try and, you know, have efficiency in front of goal, you know, the running sort of off the pack, off the ground, chip kicks or whatever, around the corner kicks, you know, with the run and play. But, we've got constant issues with our forward entry when we don't have a target like a Lynch or a Bolter up there that can, you know, take a mark and have a set shot for goal.
Looking at the game plan from this week as opposed to last week, you'd almost think they will swap. We've got Lynch and Bolter last week. That's when you go long. When we don't have them, that's when you hit up the short leads. You make your way short. And I think the main difference is this week we had 30 less marks and like 40-odd uncontested possessions, which you would think with no tall forwards or no tall genuine forwards, that'd be the opposite. This would be the week that you want to go short, you want to go uncontested and make your way up forward. So I just found like the game plan was a little bit off this week.
And I think it's also worth noting that if you took the two key forwards, if you took Mackay and Curnow out of Carlton or, you know, any other club, that everyone would be struggling just as much as we are. So it's not a club-specific issue. But even Samson Ryan would have been a better go. And this is not a slight of Kaczynski. It's just purely from a structural and a matchup perspective, just someone to have that genuine height over the tallest defender to bring it to ground. Like for Kaczynski, personally, I have no expectation for him to mark the ball. And that's not a negative thing. That's just because it's going to be bloody tough. He's going to get triple teamed, right? Because there's no one else to man up on. His job simply to bring it to ground. But I think we needed someone just that fraction tall and a bit more aggressive. And that's why I wanted Naismith, because he is more inclined to just to smash into packs and try and bust them right open. But, you know, Uzay's obviously got a method and a plan in place. He obviously sees something with Cozzy. He kicked a nice goal, a good clutch goal on half time as well, which was good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the hard part for him is with Lefau being so raw as well. Like we don't even have a second forward to you know, demand someone man them up. But I thought Lefau was good on Lefau just quickly. I've really enjoyed his last couple of games. I thought he's actually warmed into it better. And I'm now more sold on the fact that on his debut game, that he was just a little bit out of sorts because of the late change. He just didn't look, he looked a bit rattled because of the 30 seconds before the bounce started the late shift. But his last two games, I've not minded Lefau. What have you guys thought of him?
I think he's been okay without being outstanding. He's done his job and he's looked pretty solid, especially there's a couple of points in the game where he pushed up to the middle of the ground and got involved there and laid an absolutely brutal tackle. So again, he's one of these that I think could play that role of sort of like what Jack did towards the end of his career, was pushing up into the middle of the ground. Obviously, we know coming from a rugby background, he's going to be reasonably mobile, he's going to be athletic, so I could see him pushing more up into the midfield, because I'm not too sure how he's going to go as a second or third tall, having AFL level defenders going on him. I'm not sure if he's got the leap or anything to sort of take those contested marks against someone like Harris Andrews or Sam Taylor, you know, the real premier defenders. So the fact that he's willing to move up to the ground and get involved is a very positive sign for someone so early. I mean, he could really just sit there and say, my job is to stay here, present a target. But the fact that he's taking on that, I want to get involved and help out, is a massive positive.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a great story, McKelty. I mean, a few seasons ago, he was playing footy in the Southern Footy League with St Kilda City. And then, you know, I believe got injured and was in and out of our VFL side and, you know, got the ability to be promoted to our AFL side. And we've seen that a lot with our VFL recruits. Like some of them have been good enough and, you know, have really helped shape our best 22 at times. And it's great to see that. I love to see that. I think Stevie Morris is doing a great job as our VFL coach and assisting with the development there. But yeah, look, I'd be putting McKelty back in the VFL for a little while and just sort of trying to establish what role we really want him to play, because he just still looks a little raw and a little bit lost at times. But yeah, no, good luck to him, and I hope he, you know, plays a lot of footy with us. But I thought, you know, playing Cozzy was the wrong call. Definitely would have played Naismith. But at the same time, I kind of understand the logic a little bit, because if I'm looking at it right, Kaczynski's coming from an AFL club and has played AFL, whereas Naismith's been in the VFL system, and, you know, not undermining sort of Naismith's ability, but again, it's that upgrade from VFL to AFL level. So I think that's how I understand the logic as to why he'd play Kaczynski. But I think Samson Ryan's a bit stiff here. I think at times he's shown a lot of potential. And, you know, going back to my point before, how we didn't have a target to kick to, I think regardless, if we played Samson, he would have played for the ball and led. And we just didn't have that last weekend. So I'm hoping he gets a gig, you know. And the other thing with Samson is he actually plays all right in South Australia too in history. So disappointing. But, yeah, I'm hoping he gets a gig in the coming weeks. And, yeah, I'd look at bringing Naismith in as well as an alternate ruck option.
Yeah, the one other thing with Cozzy is Cozzy was the Hawks version of Bolter. He's been thrown up forward, he was thrown down back, he was thrown in the ruck. He never had a settled position. So I think if Uze is going to persist with him, it's best that he keeps him as a forward and see how he goes from there. And with Lynch out, with Bolter out for, you know, a month and a half, you may as well keep playing Cozzy to see if he is going to be that, if he is going to be able to step up at AFL level, because Ryan had an extended period last year where he showed there were signs, but again, he's still got, the thing with Ryan is he still gets moved off the ball so easily. And the way that we transitioned the ball on the weekend, Ryan was not going to do any more than what Cozzy did. The only thing that Ryan would have helped would have been Nank in the ruck. Ryan's ruck work is a lot better than what Cozzy's is. So it's sort of, I think next week Ryan has to come in. I wouldn't mind Lafau dropping, because you got Barris, you got McGovern. They're gonna have to bring in a genuine second tall.
I agree.
What did we all make of Jack Graham's first game back? He had 18 disposals, 7 tackles, 3 marks, 4 clearances. I don't think he looked out of place as such. Yeah, I mean, good to have run in the legs. I would actually now be really keen to see he and McAuliffe working in tandem in the middle, just with, I feel they're very similar types of players with how hard they are at the footy.
Yeah, Graham had a solid game. It was a typical Jack Graham game where you look at it and you say, okay, yeah, he's had a decent game, but you didn't really notice him too much. There's a couple of times where he got caught and run down. Thankfully, he didn't give away the free kicks for holding the ball, but you just tell he was a little bit rusty. And you could tell that he hasn't really played much football. So, yeah, I think we're probably better off going with a younger player in that regard, playing a full game and then easing Graham in. If I would, like this week, the perfect thing was to have Graham as a sub and then McAuliffe play the full game, if they were going to do it that way. Ease Graham back in, get the minutes in. Obviously, with Graham's tank and his ability to run all day, he would have been a better option than McAuliffe as sub.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And the last young kid I want to talk about, Tyler Sonzi. What do you have? Yeah, I've lost it. 13 disposals, 1 tackle, 2 marks. I don't know. I felt like it was an okay game. I feel like maybe I'm expecting a bit too much of him at this early stage, but I just see so much potential in him. But is he one? I mean, I think we need to persevere with and keep playing him in the scenes and let the penny drop for him. But do we keep holding on to him? Do we keep giving him, you know, give him 5-6 games in a row and just let's see what he's got?
Yeah, I think, again, he's the best we've got at that position right now. The ability to transfer from mid to forward and stuff. He made a couple of mistakes, and I know everyone's saying, you know, oh, he's a kid, you know, they're going to make mistakes. But one of the mistakes that he made, you get taught at junior level, is you don't lose your feet in a contest. And he deliberately chose to go to ground and they transitioned the ball for a goal from half back. So, again, there's some simple mistakes and his decision-making on the weekend wasn't great. Got caught a few times, but he has to play. There's upside there. It's just whether or not he's going to be able to reach that potential that he has.
Yeah, I just think he needs to play more AFL. Like, he's just been spending a lot of time in the VFL and, you know, he'll get a few games in the AFL and he'll be dropped. I feel like Timmer did that a lot with our younger players. He played it a little bit safe and utilised what he knew. And players like Sonzi, it's sort of been a little bit detrimental to his development. And that's I think, what's shown so far from him, and so I think I agree on the point that give him some time in the AFL and we'll see what he's really capable of. And yeah, so hopefully he can stay in the side for the next month or so. I know obviously we've got West Coast this weekend and we've got a bye and whatnot, but get some footy into him and I think we'll see what Sons he's really capable of.
I like him. I want to see him do well because the kid oozes class. Kicked one really good goal and then obviously had that late one that was touched. I mean, that's how close we were to winning as well, wasn't it? We had two goals that were kicked that were overturned and they were touched, so it's not like they weren't, but we got so close. All right, well, that's a wrap on that game. We'll start to take a look at this week. We've got West Coast who are coming off. I mean, I thought that was their best game for the season by far against Sydney. I know they lost by 26 points, but they were in it for quite a substantial period of that point of that game. Liam Duggan had a big game, 30 disposals. Yeo, 28. McGovern, 26 and 6 marks. Plenty of different goal kickers. But before we look at how the game's going to be won and lost, what changes do we foresee happening? Obviously, Liam Baker's going to come back in after his week off, which we could have really done with him in the side. Do we know who do you think is going to come out for him? I suppose there was injury clouds over Dow and McAuliffe, but McAuliffe obviously come back on, so hopefully he gets through. But other than that, yeah, who comes out?
I'd personally like to see Dow out for Baker. Dow's had the string of games now. I want McAuliffe to get that same opportunity. McAuliffe in his little period there, looked very, very good. So I think Baker for Dow. LaFell, I think, probably gets dropped for Ryan or Naismith. We need to go taller with West Coast's back line. Otherwise, again, it's just going to be a repeat of this week. And I want to see one of McIntosh or Pickett dropped. And I know that that's going to cause some issues with people, but Judson Clark had a really good game at VFL level. He's had a good couple of weeks. Hugo Ralph-Smith had a really, really good game last VFL game. And if we're serious about getting younger players in and rewarding form, I can't see one of both of Pickett or McIntosh playing based on what they served up this week. And with the younger players playing in the VFL last week, what they did, I definitely think that one of the younger boys needs to come in, even Sam Banks or something. We just need to get an injection of youth and speed.
Yeah, I want to see Ralph Smith come in. I think he's been stiff not to get a gig so far because I think he adds a lot through the midfield and off the half back as well with the run and carry. He just, when he comes in, if he gets the ball, he can set us up and, you know, into an offensive position pretty quickly. So I think he deserves a gig and I'd be bringing him in for McIntosh. I think that, you know, the role McIntosh plays is sort of what Ralph Smith would be expected to play, similar, obviously not as tall, but role-wise, that's the role I see him playing. Aaron Juddy should come in for McKelty in a straight switch. Bring him in and bring Samson in and for Cozzy. Just give it a go, change it up. We're playing West Coast. You know, what have we got to lose, really, other than the game, which you would think we won't do.
This is a danger game. I'm calling it.
I agree wholeheartedly. It is a danger game. And it's over there as well. It's not like it's at the MCG. But we do play up the stadium pretty well historically. So
the only concern I've got with some of the changes mentioned is I think what's going to hurt those happening was no VFL last week, which is probably another another one of the negative points to the gather round, I guess, is you lose that VFL form line, I suppose. But I guess in one way, it's no different to Baker having a week off and he's going to come in, so it probably doesn't mean too much. I'm also a big fan of Juddy Clark. I really like him. And if once he's fit and firing, he's another one similar to Sonzi that I think will get better with AFL game time. He looks a step above VFL level, to be honest, every time I've watched him. So I wouldn't be against him coming in. But yeah, I wouldn't be against Ryan or Naismith to come in for Cozzy, but it sounds like Cozzy's going to keep his spot. So, Jacko, I know you're laughing, mate. I'm deadly serious. This is a danger game. And the reason it's a danger game, West Coast form has been building. And mark my words, as soon as Lynch and Bolter went down, they will have circled this game on their calendar as their first real opportunity to win a game. So they will be throwing the kitchen sink at this for four quarters. And they put up a pretty good fight against the Swans. And they will be coming for us at a rate of knots. So we cannot go over there and think this is just going to happen because, like, on paper, they've still got some good players, right? It's just not clicking for them. They're just, I don't know what's going on with them. But they will have penciled this in as a genuine opportunity to get their first win. Mark my words.
100%. And their midfield's been in pretty solid form too. So ours needs to be on top. We need to be prepared for that as well.
And of course, if we just bomb it away, what's McGovern going to do?
McGovern, Barras, like they're just going to intercept. And then, of course, they've got Duggan off halfback, who's a great kick. Like, with our ability, again, what we need to do as well is we need to man up. We can't let the short kicks. And it's week in, week out. It's what does us in. It's teams that are able to retain possession. We saw against Sydney, we shut that down. They couldn't move the ball. We saw it for the first 15 minutes of the game against St Kilda where we shut down their ball movement. They had to go long. They couldn't score. But then in the second half of the game this week, they had 49 more uncontested possessions and 39 more uncontested marks than we did in the second half, which just shows that they controlled the ball. And that's our glaring weakness. It has been for 2.5 years now. Ever since the stand rule came in, it's that uncontested possession. If you can retain the ball short, that's the way to beat Richmond. Don't kick long, hit the short player up, hit those 15, 20-meter kicks, work the ball, because one, it's going to tire us out having to constantly man the mark, run, that sort of thing. But it also throws off our defensive structure if there's constant movement. So what we need to do is we definitely need to stop that as well. We need to start manning up. Block, instead of guarding space down the line, we need to start guarding leading lanes, stop allowing that short kick. And West Coast are really, really good at doing that. So, yeah, it's going to be tricky. And I'm tempted to chuck 50 on West Coast to knock us off.
No, Grok, don't say that, mate. Come on, you can't go that far.
I shouldn't laugh because I put 30 on the Kangaroos in the year they were shit when they lost their coach, and I won 300 from it. So,
yeah,
game responsibly. But it's just feeling. You get those vibes that teams, I know it's very cliche, Carl, but you always hear that it's their grand final, and this genuinely feels like the Eagles' grand final against us, doesn't it?
Yeah, look, no, you're right, Michaels. It certainly does feel a little bit like that. But I think the thing is, we just need to try and make sure that West Coast don't have a really good quarter like what St Kilda did in the third quarter. You know, if they have a third quarter like St Kilda did, then I'll be worried because it seems like we can play three quarters, but when it comes to the last quarter, we just crap the bed, shall we say, in patches. And we need to resolve that. We need to come up with a plan because, I thought we were kind of lucky to win against the Swans. I know they were pretty off, but I just thought it was, too similar to the Carlton game in a sense that they all it was going to take was for Sydney to kick one goal and we were going to lose. So, we need to play four consistent quarters of footy. And I know we've got it in us, and I'm hoping that, against West Coast, that's what we bring to the table. We just got to apply that pressure, consistently apply that pressure and shut them down, not let them get anywhere near us on the weekend, and we'll be all right.
And I think it's a good point. Like that second quarter against St Kilda, we just needed to kick one or two goals to resettle and just reaffirm the lead. So as stupid as this sounds, we just need to make sure we're scoring goals in every quarter against West Coast and keep applying scoreboard pressure. I've got no doubt if we bring the same heat we've done the last 2 weeks, it should be hopefully enough to get us in a more than good spot to win the game. But I think we still have really big concerns with no two key forwards. And Barras and McGovern are elite intercept marking players. At the best of times, when you've got Lynch and you've got Bolter down there, they're still a handful, let alone without those plays for us. And so someone had a good point earlier. Maybe it just has to be dirty entries, just scrubber kicks, like low, wide, just get onto the deck, like we kind of did against Sydney a little bit. I'm not against that. I don't care if it looks ugly, because that actually will help play into our hands. And RFC Centre, I know you've put this a few times, it's not the worst point. Do you bring in Grimes as a defensive forward to occupy McGovern or Barras? Maybe something crazy like that does happen. I wouldn't rule it out. I think if Grimes is to come back in, I don't want to see him in the back line, because that's our future back line. We need to keep that settled. So maybe you can negate one of them and keep him accountable. I don't know. It's not the worst idea, that's for sure.
I'll just on that point, I'm going to interject here. And I reckon if anyone's going to play that kind of role, like a defensive forward role, that's not Bolter or Gibkiss, because they've done that in the past. Obviously, for obvious reasons, they're both injured at the moment. But I think if anyone's going to do it, and I feel like he's done it a couple of times before, is Vlosten. You chuck him up there at like in the third or fourth. If we're going down that trajectory, then as in a defensive forward role. But I feel like he's too important to our structure down back at the moment. So I wouldn't do that for the life of me. But if you're going to, he would be the player I would do that with.
I reckon Mansell will be the one that makes Barras and McGovern accountable. He's done it. He did it against Harris Andrews. He did it against Sam Taylor last year. He'll definitely be the one that niggles them and sort of just continues to put body on them, not allowing them to go third man up, that sort of thing. So, yeah.
It'd be cool if we can see McAuliffe versus Harley Reid at some point. That might be a nice watch.
Dusty versus Reid would be even better. Dusty to show him how it's done.
Would love to see Dusty give him the don't argue and say, listen here, young man, I'm still the main man around here.
Give him the EFO, this new thing, the EFO, the effective fend-off.
But a bit nervous about this one. Anyway, let's get some tips, including margins. Chuck him in the chat as well. We'll put a few up on the screen. Grok, who are you going with and by how much?
Do I dare? Head and heart are two different things right now. I'm torn. If Richmond by 21, but yeah, I've got a bad feeling.
I've got a bad feeling about this. Carl?
I'm going to tip us by 14 points. I don't think it's going to be a large margin, but I think we'll do enough to get over the line. And, you know, we like the close one. So just a couple more points than what we won against the Swans by. So Tigers by 14 for me.
Yeah, we're notoriously not a side to put teams away, even at the best of times, are we?
No.
Oh, Sarge, don't say that. West Coast by one. Harley Reid to kick one after the siren.
No, don't do that. We've had enough of that. There are no goals after the siren. I don't want any of that. Please don't do it to us.
Yeah, we don't need... I mean, we concede enough junk time goals as it is. We would seriously, just to get sidetracked, we would have to be league leaders over the last 10 years of goals conceded in the last minute of football in any quarter. We would have to be.
Yeah.
Anyway, I reckon we'll get up by about 18 to 20 points, but it's definitely not going to be as easy as what some people are maybe hoping for it to be, especially on the Eagles' home deck. Although we do play the ground a lot better, to your point, Carl, so I do enjoy that factor. And maybe with our youth and exuberance, they might be able to get out and run their little legs off.
And just on the comment that RFC Centre said, yes, I said I was chucking 50 on Eagles. I'm still going to do that. I did tip Richmond, but either way, if we lose, I'll be the alcohol will be worth it the day after.
Fletcher, I appreciate this. Everyone who saw my mid-season draft video, I will be readily available to fly to Perth to literally sit in a forward pocket with no defensive pressure. Kicked a couple of goals against the young fellas here, which was good. But if that stat is true, Michaels, does that indicate we are mentally weak late in the game? Which stat was that?
About us conceding in the last minute.
Yeah, I don't know. for a little period of time, I just thought we've structured up poorly, and just our inability to shut the game down for 60 seconds has been pretty bad. I don't know if that's a mentality thing, if it's an application thing, but yeah, it's not been a strong suit of ours, and is absolutely infuriating.
I think part of it is just us switching off, looking forward to the break, thinking about what the plan's going to be and things like that. So again, it's just a mental lapse.
Yeah, you know, just on that, I think what's worse is when we concede early into a fourth quarter when we're within range at three quarter time, particularly against that Port Adelaide a couple of weeks ago. You know, Bakes has kicked us two goals to get us, you know, within a kick of Port, and you think, you know, we're a genuine chance here. We looked out of it, and he's got us back within a kick, and then they've come out and they've killed us in the first couple of minutes, and it's game over. Like, we need to avoid that where we can. That's something that needs to be addressed. Don't let our opponents kick, you know, two or three goals early in the fourth quarter, so it makes the task even more difficult than what it could be, you know, when it's restricted to a couple of kicks, because it just seems like if a side's any more than a couple of goals ahead of us, it becomes very difficult for us to be able to, you know, get on, you know, apply offensive pressure and turn that into a score, so an effective score, like a goal. So I hopefully we can keep working on that aspect, because it seems like a bit of a worry at the moment.
Yeah, we almost need to be five or six goals up at three quarter time to really give ourselves a chance with the fade outs that we've had in the last quarters, with teams coming over the top of us with that rapid spurt of goals, two or three goals in the space of 3 or 4 minutes. It gives teams a chance. And I definitely think the Eagles are one of those sides where if they do get a run on with the experience that they have and the players, it could. I saw someone make a comment, live call of the game
on when Sunday. Sunday
afternoon.
What time is it? 4 o'clock? I'll have to have a look and see what we've got on. It would be good. Now, Richo, I don't want to mention the U word because they were pretty good. It was pretty okay. I think we might have even won the count for the second.
No, we lost it by one.
Oh, we lost it? Oh, okay. Well, you take that every day of the week compared to some of the other ones that come out. A quick reminder as well, folks, that next week Peter Wilson will be on for about 20 to 30 minutes. I know we've got the bye next week. But we will still do a show to obviously chat about the Eagles game, but Peter Wilson will be on. So thank you so much to Nick for organising that. So you make sure you tune in for that one. And other than that, we're still working on the stubby holder piece. We've got to get the vinyl and shit together, but we will get that going. And we'll see you all on Monday night, hopefully with a win under our belts. I'll be nervous watching this game, I can assure you. And if we can pull together a live call, we'll do it. But yeah, we'll keep everyone posted on that front. So, Carl, thank you for jumping on tonight, mate. Grok, same with you. Much appreciate your time tonight, fellas.
Thanks for having us.
Good to be no here again. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. And make sure wherever you're listening to us, make sure you like and subscribe on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. Get around us. Make sure you hit us up on all the socials. We're happy to chat and engage every chance we get. Thank you for everyone tuning in tonight. And until next time, go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.